is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
So often we limit Him to our own understanding. We think we've got Him figured out, and we don't. And so we begin to take things into our own hands. We begin to control and to manipulate and to try to force things to happen and then say it's the Lord when it's really us. And then bad things happen. We get ourselves into that relationship that we say was the Lord, but it wasn't the Lord. It was us. And then we cry out to God. What happened? This is from you. And He begins to show us that this was about us and not about Him when we made these decisions.
Decisions can be tough, and sometimes we find ourselves presenting options to the Lord when all He wants us to do is rest in Him and simply obey His word. Today, Pastor Troy reminds us that God's plans are perfect, wonderful, and specific. We can find rest in our indecision, knowing that He is in control. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's study.
I'm going to bring up two things that you won't see, or I guess experience, in heaven. Jesus has gone into Jerusalem, and He's days away from the cross now. So He's going to be crucified. It's not been His time up to this point. And He's always gotten out of every dilemma because He said it's not His time. And He would tell people, hey, don't tell them I did this. You know, just go tell them that you're clean because it's not yet my time. But now He's come into town and He says, you know what? If the people don't cry out, the rocks will, because it is my time. It's time to recognize the King has come. The Messiah is here. And He comes into town, and as He does, He drives out the money changers, because that's not what was supposed to be going on in the house of God. And He starts to teach and to basically tell the Pharisees, sinners and tax collectors, the people that you think are the despised of God are actually going to go to heaven before you guys will, because they heard John's preaching, they repented, they have come to me for their healing. But you've seen all these things, and you don't. You don't repent, you don't see your need for baptism, you don't see the plank in your own eye. You think you're self-righteous, and as a result, you're rejecting me. And they miss Him. He's been frustrating the Jewish and religious leaders. And today, the two major groups, the political and religious leaders, take their turns asking Jesus a question in order to try to stumble Him, a question from each group, because they want to stumble Jesus. One group, the Pharisees, are the religious leadership of Israel. They're the separatists. They're the ones who set themselves apart. The word that we get the word Pharisee from is parashin. It's to separate. So they are the separate ones. We're the ones who set ourselves apart for God, they thought. And they'll be joined by the Herodians, and we'll talk about who they are in a moment. The other group, the Sadducees. The Sadducees are less religious. They're more political. They believe in the first five books of Moses, but all of the rest, the talk of a Messiah, all of that stuff, they weren't really as into. The supernatural, angels, resurrection, they weren't into any of that. Guidelines, you could say they operated this way. They'd be like that group that says, I believe in the Sermon on the Mount, or I believe in the Ten Commandments, but don't start preaching Jesus at me. That would be the Sadducees. Yes, we need some good godly principles. He gave us those. That's good. Thank you. but don't start telling me how to live my life. Rome has some great insight. Rome's bringing technology in the future. And so they were into embracing, well, whatever was going on. They supported the Roman government, embraced some of the multiculturalism and the ideas brought in by Rome. So we'll see today two questions asked, one from each of these groups, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. And from Jesus' response, we'll try to take away a couple of principles that we should hold on to. So we begin in verse 15 with the Pharisees. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" You could call this one a question without sincerity. It's not a sincere question. This is a question meant to stumble Jesus. Notice that it's not even the Pharisees, it's their disciples. So these aren't even graduated. The Pharisees, they've been rebuked. They've been put to shame. They've been called out. And so they say, "Youngins, you go get them. And take the Herodians with you." Because they've had enough. But they notice a few things about Jesus that the crowds would probably agree with. One, he's a man of integrity. He's honest. He says, "We know that you are true. You speak what you believe to be true." He teaches the way of God in accordance with truth. You teach the way of God in truth. In other words, you teach the way of God and you use scripture to support it. He always did. He didn't just say, "I say this. This is what I think. This is what I believe." He always said, "Here's what the scripture says. Here's what the scripture says. The scripture says." And so they understood that about him. And they also understood clearly that he's not swayed by position and influence. You're not a respecter of persons. They're not saying that you don't like people. They're saying that you don't care what background they are, how much power they have, or whether they'll leave your church or not. You don't care about that. You speak the truth regardless of who is the person. So they say, "We understand these things about you." They approach him. They're buttering him up. Some of this they don't believe. They do believe he speaks what he thinks is true, but they just don't believe what he says is true. So they come in a kind, buttering up manner so they can maybe get him to drop his guard and go in for the kill. And it says the Herodians came with him. Herodians were supporters of the Herods. Heard of King Herod, his dynasty? The Herodians were supporters, the Herodians. They were supporters of Herod, thus they were supporters of Rome. They were at political odds with the Pharisees. They were not friendly with the Pharisees. They were actually combatants. They disagreed strongly with the Pharisees. In fact, they had more in common with the Sadducees, who we know were the Pharisees' enemies. You could say they get along, these two groups who are approaching together, Pharisees and Herodians, got along a lot like our Republicans and Democrats do. They don't, really. They'll sit next to each other, but that's about it. They won't agree on anything. So why bring the Herodians with them? Why did they approach with the Herodians? Well, one, because the Herodians represent the opposite side of this question. You can either answer and agree with the Pharisees, or you can answer and agree with the Herodians, but they stand on opposite sides of this question. See, this question was meant to cause division. That's why they bring up this question. If he says, "No, don't pay the taxes," then all who support Rome and believe that we need to support Rome will get outraged. They'll be upset, and he'll lose them. But if he says, "Pay taxes," then many of the common Jews, those who are following and strong supporters of a rebellion against Rome, they would throw in the towel and give up on him. So if he answers one way or the other, he's losing somebody. And that's all they want to do, just kind of divide and divide and conquer. They don't realize yet that he's only a few days from the cross. Soon they'll be rid of him, they think. Right now, they just think, we got to get rid of him. And so they're trying to divide, trying to get people to oppose him. So that's one reason to bring the Herodians. Another reason to bring them was because the Herodians did support Rome. They had contacts in Rome. They had good standing with Rome because they were supporters. And so if Jesus were to say something against the Roman government, in the presence of the Herodians would be able to go back, kind of unlike the Pharisees. The Pharisees were just constant complainers as far as they were concerned, but the Herodians were friends. When a friend comes to you, then you're more likely to listen. And so they probably expect he might say, no, don't pay those taxes. And then he would be stumbled and Rome could take care of this man, get him off their hands. That was probably their greatest hope. That would be the best answer. Or if he said pay the taxes, then he's just lost Israel. He's just lost most of the Jews. So it seemed like a win-win. Great question. Stumbler. It's a great reason to hang out with the enemy. So they ask the question, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And Jesus, verse 18, but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Man, Jesus had a way of answering questions without really answering it. It's answered very thoroughly, but it's not answered like pick A or B. It's like, no, A and B, they're not right. We have a way of giving God options like that. Here's A, here's B, Lord. Which one is from you? And he often has a way of saying, neither. Neither A nor B are from me. I want you to be quiet, be still, and listen. Listen to me. Follow me. Stop trying to figure it out and go, here's A, here's B. You just be obedient to me. You just listen to me. You just follow me. I've got options. I've got direction you know nothing about. And so often we limit him to our own understanding. We think we've got him figured out, and we don't. And so we begin to take things into our own hands. We begin to control and to manipulate and to try to force things to happen and then say it's the Lord when it's really us. And then bad things happen. We get ourselves into that relationship that we say was the Lord, but it wasn't the Lord. It was us. And then we cry out to God, what happened? This is from you. And he begins to show us that this was about us and not about him when we made these decisions. So we need, instead of giving him options, to simply be available and listen to what he has to say. Jesus addresses the question of taxes. The first thing that you won't see in heaven is taxes. And that's good news. If we were a Pentecostal church, we'd have an amen right there. Maybe an amen, brother. And so we will not have taxes in heaven. I think we all agree that we don't agree with the way the tax money is spent completely. I think they're out of control here, and it makes you not want to pay the taxes, right? I don't like what they're doing, so I don't want to pay the money. So what would Jesus say about that? Should we pay money? Should we pay taxes? Or should we not pay taxes? The Roman tax system was outrageous. You had to pay for the Roman army who enforced the Pax Romana, a great, strong, humongous, massive army. We understand that. We understand a defense budget, and you need defense. Then you had to pay for carts, tax on carts. If you had a two-wheel cart versus a four-wheel cart, the more wheels you had to pay a higher tax because you could do more work. carts, the amount of fish that you caught, even if you were just having fun fishing, it wasn't your job. You catch stuff, you pay tax on it. You were supposed to. So you anything you could make money on, anything that you could make a living on, you were supposed to pay tax from. You paid tax to travel from town to town because you were using their roads. And so you had to pay taxes. On that vacation you're going to take, you better carry a little extra cash for the taxes as you enter into the cities so that you can pay your taxes. Now, we can understand that because we know things like toll roads, and we do in our tax budget have money to kind of upgrade and do the roads. But here's a tax. Maybe we do pay. Maybe it's in there somewhere and we just don't see it. But in Rome, you had to pay tax to breathe their air. That's one tax you're going to go ahead and prioritize. Let's pay our air tax, honey. I don't know if it's listed as an item, but you had to pay tax just because you breathed their air. You think, I thought that was in our tax thing too, man. We pay tax for everything. It was extravagant. And then what frustrated you was the way the king lived. Man, he has everything. We're under oppression. We got to pay tax to support all this stuff. And so should we pay tax? That's the question. I don't agree with the way they're spending money. I'm not going to pay tax. I don't want to pay tax. I don't like the government. I'm not going to pay tax. I don't want to pay tax. Lord, we don't agree with them. Also, the Roman coin had an image of Caesar on it. Now, to the Jews, they hated this. They didn't even want to own these coins because it represented idolatry. It was an image, and it represented idolatry. So they didn't want any of these coins in their possession. They so wanted to stay away from these images. But Rome said, we won't take your money. You have to pay with these coins. So they had to possess these coins in order to pay their taxes. And so it's a double whammy for them. We don't agree with them. We don't support them. And we got to have these coins with an image on it. So should we pay the taxes? You see all that's going into this question? So Jesus says, all right, show me a coin. Shows the coin. He says, whose image is on it? And they say, Caesar's. See what I'm saying? It's got an image. And instead of Jesus saying, wow, that's adultery or idolatry, get rid of that thing, he answers something they don't expect. And he says, render to Caesar then the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Now, the second part wasn't even a question that they asked. His answer about the taxes is simply this. That's Caesar's money. He created that economy. If you want to live in that economy, you want to buy, you want to sell, you want to use the money and involve yourself in that economy, then you need to live by the rules of that economy. If they say pay taxes, you pay taxes. If it's a lot of taxes, you pay a lot of taxes. You are agreeing to live in that economy. You know what's sad? That wasn't God's economy. God's economy was plant your seeds, grow your food, pray for rain, seek me, and I will provide everything that you need. But if you don't want to grow any food, you're going to have to depend on someone else. If you don't want to do anything yourself, and you'd rather run over here and kind of be an actor, an actress, and do that, and go to the grocery store and depend on the farmers and everyone else, then that's going to cost you some money. If you want to play it that way, if you want to play by the economy, then you need to live by the economy. And if they say with their money that they created for their economy, pay taxes, then he says, render that to them. It's theirs. It's their game, not yours. But I earned it. Yeah, you earned it on their terms. They said, you earned it. You can spend it. Here's the pay rate. Oh, give us a pay raise. Give us a pay raise. All right, we'll raise the... You earned it on their terms. You're asking them for help. So when they say pay taxes, they say, Jesus, pay taxes. So he's basically telling them, that's their system. Render to them what's theirs. Give it to them. Be a good citizen, be honest, have integrity, and pay what you owe, the the required taxes. If you're one of those who is against taxes, don't look in the Bible to find a God who's against your paying taxes. God's not on your side. In fact, in Romans chapter 13, Paul writes, New Testament, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." Now, yes, we have some corrupt authorities and some corrupt governments, many of them in our country especially, we vote in. So we need to be careful there. We need to know the agendas. We need to know the people. We vote corrupt government in now because we are no longer standing on godly principles. We are corrupt ourselves. And so if they have the programs I want, I'm voting for him. Who cares if he's corrupt? He's going to bring that program in that I want and that I need. And so we vote them in. So corruption breeds more corruption, votes for corruption, and so we have what we have. A system of government that we all hate, but we all vote for and continue to empower. Therefore, it says, verse 2 in Romans chapter 13, "Whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Then do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." So he uses the government, he uses government, police forces, those things, not individuals, vigilantes, but government to patrol and to enforce good behavior so that we'll all get along. He knows that we won't. "Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Therefore, render to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." So that's our Lord's word to us on whether or not we should pay taxes. But Jesus doesn't stop with the question on taxes. He then says, "And render to God the things that are God's." Since we're thinking in terms of owing what we should owe based upon that economy, let's talk about God's economy and what we should give to him. Just as the coin bears the image of Caesar, so you, my friend, bear the image of God. You belong to him. He created you. So we're to give him what is rightfully his. What is that? Not the coin, but us, the person. How do we give ourselves to him? In service, obedience, in a willingness to trust him, in worship. Is it hard for you to gather like this in corporate worship? Is this like something, I just can't make it today, I just can't go? Is it hard for you to gather in corporate worship? Because the scripture says, "Do not forsake the assembling together." So it's not this go out and worship God on the mountain by yourself, but gather together and don't forsake the gathering. And he says, all the more as you see the day approaching, we ought to want to gather together in corporate worship. How about praying and time to pray, setting it aside? Do you find that you push it aside? You don't have time for that? Let me ask you this. Whose time is it?
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.